Mahamudra, Eliminating the Darkness of Ignorance by the Ninth Karmapa, Part 2, Mahamudra Shamatha Meditation. As for the actual fundamental part, there are two sections, a stilled and settled state of shamatha and an exceptionally perceptive state of vipassana. As for the first, in general, there are many methods for developing samadhi, absorbed concentration. But if you know one set of essential points, then hindrances and interferences will not come about, and, parted from any faults regarding shamatha or vipassana, boon experiences and stable realizations of primordial deep awareness will occur without any labor. By indicating the teachings for this through the gateway of the body posture of Vairochana, you will have a method for effortlessly developing absorbed concentration for the generation and complete stages of Anuttara Yoga Tantra and the boon experiences of bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality. Therefore, since beginners need to rely on the essential points concerning the body posture, then concerning that, in order to bring the downward-going energy winds under control, have your legs be in either the Vajra posture or the Sattva posture. In order to make the energy winds of the earth element remain in the central energy channel, straighten your spine like a pointed tube. In order to induce the energy winds of the water element into the central channel, clasp your hands together beneath your navel in the total absorption mudra gesture, raising your shoulder blades back toward each other. To induce the energy winds of the fire element into the central channel, keep your neck slightly bent like a hook. To induce the energy winds of the wind element into the central channel, have your eyes neither wide open nor shut, but gazing at a point straight ahead from the tip of your nose. Have your tongues and lips drop down to the natural state, or have your tongue touching against your upper palate. With your body held with the essential points of posture like that, then once the movement of conceptual thought has naturally purified itself away, many advantages such as non-conceptuality and so forth will dawn. But even just with your body held with those essential points of posture, your body and mind will pass into a blissful and tranquil state. Therefore, having made your body and mind be neither too tight nor too tense, first expel a little air, and that set your breathing into unlabored exhaling and inhaling. Refresh your memory a bit about the preliminaries, and then do not bring to mind past actions, or think about doing something in the future, or that you are doing something now. Without adopting or rejecting, set your mind into a state of normal awareness in the present moment, its real nature, fresh and clean, at ease, naturally simple, and which has neither been fashioned nor contrived. Through this, your mind will become serviceable and will develop absorbed concentration. Therefore, because these essential points of posture of the body and mind are the foundation stone for meditation, earnestly practice them. That is the first point for shamatha meditation. If you are unable to settle your mind into that state, then by focusing it, direct your manner of gaze externally at a stick, a pebble, a Buddha statue, the flame of a butter lamp, the sky, and so forth, whatever suits you. Without thinking at all about the color, shape, and so on of that basis for focus, rid yourself of both being either too overly tense or slipping into being carefree and loose. In other words, having set your mind, without the slightest meandering, on merely that which you have taken as the basis for your focus, cut off completely all rambling of other conceptual thoughts. Alternatively, focus on either the syllables white om, red ah, and blue hum, or on white, red, and blue drops, whatever suits you, drawn in front of you and in the essential nature of the enlightening body, speech, and mind of all the Buddhas. In short, direct and set your mind single-pointedly on whatever type of visual object suits it and which is pleasurable for it to take. If you try to settle your mind on something your temperament cannot take at all, and which is not at all in character of how you usually set your mind, then when you try to make your mind go there, it will stick your attention onto anything else that just comes up, without taking care about sending it to that object. Completely cut off all signs of conceptual thoughts, such as I am meditating, or I am not meditating, or hopes to be able to settle your mind, or worries that you will be unable to settle it, and the likes. Meditate while maintaining account of your mindfulness, not getting into meandering, for even an instant, to something that it should not be meditating on at all. Have your sessions be well divided, with many short ones, and do not become discouraged about having to cut off distraction again and again, and having to totally absorb your mind once more with clarity, lucidity, and joy. It is important to train in all that. If it will be comfortable for your mind to take any one of these visual objects as its basis for focus, then do that. If you wish to take all of them in turn, this is permitted. But if you have taken one and find that sufficient, do not feel that you have to go on to take them all, as if going through an alphabet primer. In short, having your mind take whichever visual object suits it is the second point for shamatha meditation. Once you have taken that visual object as your basis for focus, then take as well, in turn, a sound that is the object of your ears, a smell that is the object of your nose, a taste that is the object of your tongue, a physical sensation that is the object of your body, and so forth. As for the sound, smell, and so on, for that, direct your mind at merely a distinct sound or a pronounced smell, and hold it with the hook of your mindfulness without meandering. Maintain your mind on whatever sensory object it is focusing on, and except for setting your mind into being dropped down into its natural state, do not scrutinize whether the sound, smell, taste, or physical sensation is wonderful or terrible, intense or slight, and so forth. Break your sessions while your clarity is still comprehensive. In other words, take a rest at that point. Do not let your clarity enter into a turbid state. In between sessions, in relation to everything, simply do not let the rope of your mindfulness break. Have the gaze of your eyes fall toward the tip of your nose, and whether physically you are walking or sitting, or verbally you are speaking or talking, do not do these too strongly or too excessively. Cut as well the stream of thoughts in your mind having signs of dualism. In other words, getting progressively into the habit of being totally absorbed is the third point for shamatha meditation. Furthermore, to eliminate such things as the faults of mental dullness and flightiness of mind, meditate that at the middle of your brow is a drop, merely the size of a pea, white, shiny, glistening, spherical, and extremely lucid, and then direct your mind at it. On some occasions, direct your mind at a black, shiny, spherical drop, merely the size of a pea, at the edge of your meditation mat. When you have mental dullness, direct your faculty of knowing at the white one and have your way of gazing be into space. Have a fresh breeze blow on your body and splash yourself with running water. Have your clothes be thin and follow a light diet. Do not sit near a fire or in the sun. When your faculty of awareness is flighty, in other words, when your mind gets distracted to many things, direct your way of gazing and faculty of imagination at the black drop. As for your way of behaving, keep warm, do physical exercise, and follow a rich, heavy diet. When you have neither mental dullness nor flightiness of mind, direct your eyes and faculty of awareness at either a small blue drop or a material object visualized at the edge of your shadow straight ahead. With respect to these, first send them out, merely projecting them, thinking, I shall meditate on a drop or so forth like this. After that, when there is clarity, or even when there is not much clarity, pay attention to it, merely thinking, there it is, like this. Then, without making an examination or minute investigation, set your mind into its natural mode without the slightest meandering from being dropped down to its natural state. Break your sessions while your clarity is still comprehensive, and then meditate again. In other words, make your sessions be short and numerous. The mind's hold on its object is the fourth point for shamatha meditation. As for directing your mind at no basis, look with staring eyes into space straight in front of you, and then have them be without any focal object at which they are directed. Make your mental consciousness as well have not the slightest meandering, not thinking anything. Do not bring to mind anything concerning what qualities the state has or does not have, or what has passed or has not yet come. Having posted alertness merely as a spy to check with great diligence that your mindfulness does not meander, set your mind into a relaxed, soft, uncontrived, fresh and clean state. In other words, set it into not meandering for even an instant, like when inserting a thread through the eye of a needle, into not being turbulent like an ocean parted from waves, into not exerting effort or trying to accomplish anything like an eagle soaring through the heights, and part it from all hopes and worries. When there is no meandering from that state, conceptual thoughts will not come. But in the event of meandering occurring, then, because conceptual thoughts will come rapidly afresh, one after the next, try to recognize them as soon as they arise. In other words, look right at them in a denuding manner, and then set your mind as before. Similarly, no matter how your mind has been distracted by conceptual thoughts, recognize them, and then, without doing any stopping or establishing of anything, or feeling happy or unhappy, set your mind on these thoughts themselves, and look at them with the eye of discriminating awareness. Take the conceptual thoughts themselves as the basis for your mind to hold, and then set it on them. Cultivating your mind not to fall into any state that is too tight or too loose is the fifth point for shamatha meditation. As for basing your mind's hold on the breath as a method, hold your breath in the having a vase manner, and then set your mind on it with no meandering. If you cannot gather your breath together into having a vase, then, since you will need to take counting it as your object instead, take for your count the movement of the breath in, its movement out, and its resting inside. Count at first merely 21 rounds, and then gradually up to 100. Direct your mind at your nostrils, and, taking your breath for your count, do not let your mind meander to anything else whatsoever. But if you can take as the basis for focus, filling your breath up inside you in a vase, and then sending it forth, first expel your breath 3 times, and after that, breathe in, holding your breath for as long as you can and pressing it down beneath your navel. When you are unable to hold it any longer, then, clearing it out, send it forth. Do like that again and again, not letting your mind meander to anything other than just that. If mental dullness or flightiness of mind occurs, earnestly practice the methods to eliminate them in progressive stages. If you have been unable to pull yourself by the rope through the ring in your nose into a settling of your mind on any of these enumerated objects for focus, then take any other object for focus, whatever kind suits you. After all, the type of person you are is not at all certain. For some, each point that strikes them from a discourse brings about a settling of their minds in 2 or 3 tries, while for a few, even if they have meditated a lot, such a settling comes as something difficult to develop. But if you have nourished meditation without procrastination, it is impossible not to develop a settling of your mind. However, it is necessary to have an experienced guru who, in harmony with the mental capacity of the disciple, serves to dispel your hindrances, to enhance your progress, and so forth. By having nourished your meditation in that way, the settling of your mind will first be like a steep mountain waterfall. Your conceptual thoughts are coarse and many. Second, your coarse thoughts will set like the sun. Although occasionally some conceptual thoughts will suddenly arise, you have come to recognize them, and as soon as you do, they subside by themselves. The stream of your meditation flows on steadily like a mighty river. Finally, all your conceptual thoughts, both coarse and subtle, set like the sun, and you pass utterly into a state of non-conceptuality. Since a tranquil, limpid, vividly transparent, crystal-clear, pristine settling of your mind into a state of bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality will occur, enhance your joyful perseverance until you develop such a settling. Even after you have developed it, practice it without any break. That is the sixth point for shamatha meditation. If you have not developed this third stage of settling the mind, you need to enhance your perseverance still more and then work through the gateway of tightening your mental hold, loosening it, and meditating turned away from having to do either. In regard to that, for tightening your mental hold, if it is too loose, keep the essential points of body posture and way of gazing, and housebreak your faculty of awareness. In other words, tighten up your meditation with discipline. Do not let your mind go into meandering for even an instant. Be as if walking across a single plank bridge. Without thinking, this focal object is what I should be meditating on, perk your mind up so that it is vibrant like a bell, and draw it quite tightly. Do not let your mind get into meandering for even an instant, and make your sessions short and numerous. For loosening your mental hold if it is too tight, take exercise and keep the appropriate way of gazing. Do not have anything like, "This is my basis for focus for meditation." Just letting your mind loosen itself into its natural mode, set it into a non-manufactured, unself-conscious, not anxiously caring state, whatever comes up. Let it become soft and relaxed and drop down to its natural state. Tranquil, without exerting yourself or trying to accomplish anything, relax like a baby with a full stomach or a pile of straw when the rope binding it has been cut. Setting your mind in that condition, keep your mindfulness in the ever-present moment without the slightest meandering from that state. Not meditating on anything other than that, set your mind in its natural mode. If your meditation sessions have been short, lengthen them slightly. Settle in a serene state of mind, and after it dissipates, take a rest. But even in between meditation sessions, maintain a count of your mindfulness. When meditating while turned away from the necessity either to tighten or loosen your mental hold, There will be times when you have no meandering, and then conceptual thoughts will not come. But when your mind meanders or many conceptual thoughts arise based on some fleeting circumstances, if you ask, should I try to rid my mind of them or what, just look right at them kindly and think, wherever you are stirring to, just stir, and thus you will intrude on your mind stirring and interrupt it. Then one more will arise, a second will arise. When you have recognized them, do not even try to rid your mind of them, but also do not follow them out. Do not be happy if your mind is settled or unhappy if it is stirring. Without having any hopes or worries, such as worrying that your meditation will not happen or hoping that it will be good, take those very thoughts as the basis for your mind to hold. In other words, without purposely trying to accomplish a non-conceptual state from stopping your thoughts, take the thoughts themselves as your cognitive object. Set your mind right on them, and the thoughts clear away, stilling down by their own accord, and thus a non-conceptual state naturally dawns. Practicing like that is the seventh point for shamatha meditation. Next is the way to develop an actual state of shamatha and getting to know it face to face. A definitional stilled and settled state of shamatha is one in which the mind is stilled of all mental wandering, be it conceptual thoughts or grasping at defining characteristics, and is settled single-pointedly in its essential non-conceptual nature, parted from mental dullness, flightiness of mind, and foggy-mindedness. Previously attained with effort, but now, without relying on effort, it comes about easily and is blissful, expansively open, and fluidly flowing. Even when you arise from meditation, your mind keeps circling right back to that state without changing into something else. Even when walking, sitting, and so on, your faculty of awareness is leisured, dignified, relaxed, comfortable, and limpid. Low-keyed in that it is not enraptured or dazzled by appearances, it does not purposely engage its awareness in any cognitive object, so that, not taking in the fine details of any object, its intellect does not enter into mental wandering. There are three equal boon experiences that you have in that state: bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality. Depending on which is in a greater proportion, many things will occur. The boon experience of heightened vision, the boon experience of heightened hearing, heightened awareness, and even extra physical powers. Whatever is appropriate to that greater proportion will also dawn the 10 signs of absorbed concentration and so forth. With faultless shamatha, such things will indeed develop on your mental continuum like that. The state of shamatha is the basis on which to develop all good qualities, such as an exceptionally perceptive state of vipassana and more. So, at this point, no matter what good or bad experiences happen to you, physical sickness, mental suffering, good or bad dreams, heightened awareness, extra physical powers, bliss, clarity, non-conceptuality, and so forth, do not get attached or cling to them. Decisive that they lack any essence, do not indulge yourself in cogitating thoughts of happiness or depression about them. If you cling to these boon experiences, they only serve as a route for circling and recurring samsara, or specifically in one of its three planes of existence. They cannot liberate you from compulsive samsaric rebirth. Even non-Buddhists have merely that much attainment from their meditation, but they are not benefited by that. So in short, if you cling to whatever boon experiences or stable realizations you gain from attaining a state of shamatha, they will destruct. But by remaining in a state of detachment from them and not being ensnared in clinging, you will extend their duration. In other words, with perseverance, pull yourself out from ever departing from this state. Since the benefits are beyond imagination, if you have meditated enhancing your endurance for hardships, train like that. As both the spiritual master and disciple must not have made any mistakes about boon experiences, understanding of the instructions concerning them, stable realizations, and the actual way to develop shamatha, gain certainty about them from having met them face to face. And foremost, when perceiving desirable sensory objects, then, without thirsting for them, have your firm conviction in your guru and appreciation for him or her be uncontrived. Having perfected a bodhicitta aim with respect to the six types of wandering beings, then maintaining account of your mindfulness not getting into meandering, keep your plans merely short-term and few, and execute them straight up and down like a bellows. Do not let yourself come under the sway of worldly matters or the eight transitory things in life. All this is very important, since if you have practiced faultlessly like that, boon experiences and stable realizations will effortlessly arise, Earnestly practicing like that is the eighth point for shamatha, meditation.